are so excited that you're here today. I know that it is a celebration day because Cody is wearing his special shirt. Okay?
Now you know. Yeah. If you show up to church, if you're anywhere in any way confused about the church calendar of what days are special, you come here. If I'm wearing this shirt, then you know. You know, yes, immediately, oh, there's something good happening today. It's a different kind of Sunday, yeah.
Yes, every other day is a black shirt day, yeah. No, we're branching out just a little bit. So we are so excited that you're here. We know that some of you are just visiting with family out here in Red Rock, and so we're so grateful that you chose to spend your Easter Sunday with us. For us Christians, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is everything. It's absolutely everything. Without the resurrection of Jesus, what we're doing here doesn't matter. It's not important. It's just kind of a fun belief system. But we truly believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I went and saw The Case for Christ this week with my husband. Has anyone seen that yet? It was just like a movie out. I think it's at AMC. And it was very, very well done about the evidence, the actual evidence that there is for the resurrection of Jesus. And so if you want to just kind of bolster your faith a little more, please go see that or read something like The Case for Christ. But we absolutely believe in the resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
We believe and we celebrate the fact that Jesus overcame death, and so that we now overcome death in our own lives, in the here and now, and in eternity. So we are so excited. This is the most exciting day as a pastor and as Christians that we get to celebrate the actual event of Jesus' resurrection.
Yes. So we have a question that we need to ask today. If the resurrection changes everything, then we need to ask, what is it that exactly the resurrection changes, right? And it's pretty easy to say everything, right? Like that we can just say everything and leave it a blanket statement and leave and go, hey, there we go. We all know every single thing in your life. That's what the resurrection changes. And that's true. But one of the most important things I think that I want to talk about first is that the resurrection doesn't just change our lives. It gives us so many things. And one of the most important things I think it gives us is hope. It gives us hope for something different, something better. That Jesus overcame the grave means that we can overcome anything. That he's already overcome everything for us. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen? How many of you have experienced Jesus overcoming something in your life? I want you to raise your hand. Amen. Mm-hmm. That is what Jesus does. And that is the promise of the resurrection. That is what that did for us, is it helps us overcome everything that this life has to throw at us. I want to read 1 Peter 3:15 really fast. That says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. So a paraphrase would be, always be prepared to give an answer to the hope that you have. Why do you have hope? Why do you have hope in your life? If we just say, like, because Jesus is alive, then that's great. But I think we need to go a little deeper than that, right? Than just saying that Jesus is alive. We have to have an internal understanding that every area of our life and our neighbors' lives and everyone around us, this entire world has changed because of the person of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And I want to say that I believe that too many Christians today live in a world where they don't understand that. Mm-hmm. Where we understand that, yeah, Jesus is a good guy, and like I know that he's supposed to be part of my life, but as Christians, we tend to still struggle and kind of, you know, mosey through this life, like, you know, and every time a hurdle comes up, it's hard and it's difficult, and we want to say that that's not what Jesus died for, right? Last week, we talked about that the cross conquered sin. It didn't help us to cope with it, mm-hmm. right? We don't have to cope anymore. That's the hope that we have, that Jesus conquered everything that we struggle through and with. And because of that, our faith can be tangible. It's not just an understanding where we go to church and we know that, hey, Jesus is this great guy and we want to sing some songs to some, you know, an invisible God. No, that's not how it works. And for every one of you that raised your hand, I hope you know that it's tangible, the resurrection and what he did for us.
Yeah, we're in this kind of new season in our church where God is just breaking chains. Maybe people have come in here and said, I believe the resurrection or whatever that is. And then as we realize what the cross did and what who Jesus is, the person of Jesus to us in our everyday lives. We've seen chains broken in our church, addiction cycles broken, marriages healed. We've seen a lot of amazing healing happening in the last couple weeks. And last week I was telling you, lately I'm in this phase of my walk with God where I'm just saying out loud and often, I believe the gospel. So if you believe the gospel, you say that, ready? I believe the gospel. You know, because tendency in the church is to say, you know, raise your hand if you want to accept Jesus. Okay, great. But I think as Christians, even if you chose Jesus 30 years ago, right? Or even if you chose him last week, it is a good practice to just reinstate that in your life. I believe it. I absolutely believe in the transforming power of Jesus Christ in my life. When my kids are naughty or when I'm struggling with my finances or when the house is overwhelming me and I'm like, oh, you know, whatever it is as a woman that I face and deal with. Men, if it's, you know, I don't know what it is. I'm not a man. Well, I couldn't speak to that, but all that to say, Jesus, the transforming power of Jesus has the power to touch every part of your life, big things, small things, every ounce of it.
Absolutely.
We believe the gospel. We absolutely believe it. And at Village Church, our mission here as a church, we understand that you have a story with Jesus. If you raised your hand, he freed you from something. That is an amazing story that God wrote for you and that you have experienced that nobody else has experienced. His power is universal and equal for all of us, but the way that we experience that is different, right? One person might get redemption or healing in one way and someone another. And so we believe that it is so important for us to identify those stories and learn how to tell them because we believe the world that does not know Jesus is living the wrong story, living a false story of whatever, right? Of fame is what matters, or if you just get enough money, or if you just are a good person and never fail, then it might work for you, right? That you, if you lived any amount of time on this earth, you know you can't be perfect. Doesn't take being a Christian to understand that not everyone, that everyone is not perfect. You know that. You know your own brokenness and your own stuff. And so we believe it's our duty to share that gospel story with the world. That's everything that we are as a church and as the people of Village Church. That's what we say. We all have a story with Jesus, and we're going to figure out how do we tell it? How do I identify it? It's so important. And so today, you know, we want to make that point. The resurrection changes everything. It changes everything. It has changed everything, but also is a transforming, forward-moving change that happens in our lives. So what does it change? And the first thing we want to say is the resurrection changes the world. It changes the world. John 3:16, I love this verse. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It doesn't say God so loved good people. God so loved the people that have it together. God so loved the people whose parents were Christians and raised them up in the church. God so loved just the Jews, or God so loved this certain race or this. No, it's God so loved what? The world. He loved the world. When he endured that cross and overcame death, he died not only for you and me, but he died for all the people that we struggle with. Okay? People that cut you off on the freeway. All right? Or those estranged family members or people that you've broken relationship with. He died for the world. He died for creation. He died even for, Cody's going to break it down, but not just for people. He died for the restoration of the entire world as we know it. Yeah. And so I just love that verse, the fullness of God so loved the world.
Yeah. So if he loved the world, we know that he loved more than just the individual. Right? He loves us. We know that. Jesus loves me, this I know, right? That's an easy one. Everybody knows that. But it says God so loved the world. It didn't say God so loved just people, even, right? It says he loved the world. And so what we want to do is just quickly, I'm going to try and break down 8 areas of society and culture that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection had a profound impact on, right? And so to start with, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection had an amazing impact on women. In Galatians 3:28, it says, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And the Greek philosopher Cicero, right, I'm going to give a quote of his. He said, he likened women to slaves, dogs, horses and donkeys. That society before Jesus, that's how women were treated. They were essentially slaves. They were possessions that were typically used and cast away. And so we can see the profound impact in just that one verse of saying that you are all one in Christ Jesus. Jesus empowers women in Scripture.
Amen.
And so today we can have female pastors. We can have a society where we respect one another. Mm-hmm. Right? And that even moves us from just women to the family unit. Because before Jesus, the family unit was the man had all the power, right? He called all the shots, and women and his children were essentially possessions of his to sometimes be traded or given away as slaves again for other possessions. That's how the ancient world worked. And honestly, like as we talk about this, we can see that we reap many of these benefits in our Western society, but there's plenty of cultures in the world today that really haven't changed since even before Christ. And you can know if you're a woman, you probably don't want to live in those cultures. Amen? And you can be thankful right now that Jesus is the reason that that all changed. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the reason that that all changed. So our family units, we can read out of Ephesians, right? Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, but husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So he's giving commands even as to how the family unit needs to be shaped and molded now, because this is what it has to be. That's what Jesus wanted. Mm-hmm. And so not only that, but he built the church. In Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's mm-hmm. a promise. Mm-hmm. That's a promise right now. But imagine the world without the church. Now, I'm going to say, I'll be the first one to say that there's plenty of wrong that the church has done throughout history. But if the church has not existed at all, imagine how different even Red Rock would look if there was no churches here. And in this nation that was founded upon so many Christian principles, and to leave one nation because of religious persecution to go to someplace else to start a church, essentially, and a new way of life. Jesus is the reason we have church. Jesus is, and because of the church, poverty is drastically different than what it could be today. Right? So many different areas we can think of, right? Now we think about the civil government even, right? Romans 13, the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Hmm. And it says, he is God's minister to you for good. And even when we look throughout history, we look at documents like the Magna Carta, right? And that was essentially a way to shore up the fact that the church could exist independently of the kingship at the time. This is like way early England, like 12th century stuff, right? But even in those documents, that started to shape our civil governments and the way they worked. And again, even the way that the Puritans and the Separatists, when they left England and they sailed for America, that's what they were leaving for, was for religious liberty. And this country was founded upon that. Mm-hmm. All of our nation's founding documents mention God. And they mention these inalienable rights given by God. Without Jesus, those rights, they wouldn't even know that that was an option. So do you see that even Jesus' death and resurrection has affected our civil government? Education. Colossians 2:3, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And did you know that the first 120 universities in the United States were founded as Christian universities? Hmm. That's Harvard, that's Yale. The first 120 major universities. The first universities in Paris and London, same story. They were founded as Christian universities. Our education system would look drastically different if it weren't for the impact that Jesus Christ has had, even on that. In Christ are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Business. Colossians 3:23, do your work heartily as unto the Lord, not to men. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. And I want to read a quote out of a book, The Wealth of Nations. He says that the large and growing middle classes, the endless business opportunities, the Protestant work ethic, extensive philanthropy, and the standard of living we share today is directly attributed to the fruit of the teachings of Jesus and what he applied to economics. The middle class would not exist without Jesus' teachings of fairness, mm-hmm. of making sure that everybody has what they need, Otherwise, we'd be living under tyrants still who had all the wealth in the world and everybody else was just impoverished. And there's still plenty of countries that look like that today, but the United States especially, we can reap the benefits of Jesus' impact on business and the economy. In science, John 1:3-4, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life, and that life was the light of men. And we can say that modern science was born of the Christian faith, not in opposition to it.
Amen.
Not in opposition. That's where science came out of. So many of our early scientists, Newton, Galileo, Einstein himself was a Christian, right? And so the reason that they were spurred on to study things of science was because of the wonder of creation and our Creator. That's where science came from. And then we're going to end with the arts. Even the arts, Ephesians 5:18-19. I'm going to skip that part. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Did you know that before Jesus, right, typically music was all minor chord? And so minor chords, if you're not aware, minor chord is very sad typically. It's depressing music. But then we had composers after Jesus, and the works of Jesus would inspire these incredible works of music by like Handel's Messiah, right? And we have these amazing works of harmonies coming into play, and that has drastically changed even music. And think about art. You know, the cave paintings on walls and stuff like that, it's like usually people trying to kill things that are trying to kill them, right? It's pretty depressing stuff. But after Jesus, we have the Sistine Chapel. We have incredible, beautiful works of art that are to bring glory to God himself. Jesus has changed that and so much more. And I just want to say, do you understand that without Jesus' effect on this world, that you would be powerless in your sins? You'd be separated from God. If you're a woman, you would have no rights, no future. Your family would be broken and dysfunctional. You'd have no worship or fellowship without the church. You'd be living under a tyrant, likely, without education and in miserable poverty. Without Jesus, you'd be fearful of nature. And your art forms would express those fears, likely. Mm-hmm. He did so much more than save us as individuals. Do you see that? He literally changed the fabric of our world, of our society, of our cultures, the way that we live. So much more. Isn't that amazing? We have so much to be thankful for in that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so amazing when he was talking, I'm just like, wow, every single thing that I take for granted, right? Because I wasn't there for any of that. Every single thing that I live every day, he gets the glory for, right? Amen? He gets the glory for our freedom that we have. The resurrection changes the world, but it also changes the future. I love this point. It changes the future. The fact that Jesus overcame the grave 2,000 years ago, it now changes the future for us. So 1 Corinthians 15 talks about Jesus, and it's talking about kind of the end of the world and how this is going to happen. It says, the end will come. Okay, so you can understand that the end of our world is a thing. That's going to happen. The end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father. It's talking about Jesus. Now he's going to hand it all over after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. Enemies. Every single one will be under his feet. This is the future that we look toward. Every ounce of brokenness, sin, and every ounce of any enemy toward your soul is conquered by Jesus. Do you believe that? Every ounce of choices that you've made, that maybe mistakes that you've made in your life. You know, I think as a parent, I'm so aware of the mistakes that I make, right? The second I make one, I'm like, oh, there we go, just ruined a person. You know, like you're just, like that's how it feels. But I'll tell you what, the whole fact that the resurrection changes our future, that gives me hope as I parent, as I try my best, but sometimes fail, I can know, but Jesus never fails those little girls, yeah. Amen? He's gonna write a story, he's writing a story for them already, and every enemy, everything, every sin, brokenness that might come as a result because of me just trying to learn and figure out life is gonna be conquered in the name of Jesus for them as well. I wholeheartedly believe it. And what's so amazing is that we believe Jesus was 100% man. That's the miracle of him resurrecting from the dead. A human being came back from death, but we also believe he was 100% God. right? And God is omnipresent. That means he is everywhere at all times. He's at the beginning of the world, he's here, he's at the end of the world, and he's everywhere in between. So you can know this. Jesus already is at the end. He's already in the future. He's already got a plan, and it's already been conquered. It's already been done. We're just catching up, okay? He's redeemed every broken thing already, and he's just waiting for us. He's just waiting for us, time to pass, so that we get there, so that it can come to the biggest fulfillment when God restores the entire world, when Jesus comes a second time. For those that believe the gospel of Jesus, when we said that I believe the gospel, what we are saying is the future is bright. Okay, for us as Christians, the future is bright. The casket is not the end all be all for you. Amen? It's not the end all be all for your family members or your loved ones. The casket, the death of our human flesh is not the end. Right? It's a joyful thing that we can celebrate, that we live eternally with Jesus Christ, where everything is put back together. I believe that wholeheartedly. Because of that, fear of what might happen to you in the future is no longer necessary. Jesus talks a lot about this thing called worry. He says, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't spend 1 ounce of worry, because I'm already there. I'm already in the future. I already overcame it. Don't worry. I win. Okay? I win. I want to say things like this. The shenanigans of the world. I literally wrote that. I'm so smart. The shenanigans of the world. Okay? War. ISIS, Korea, Russia, the current president, all of what's going on in our world is under the dominion of Jesus Christ. No matter what, at the end, Jesus wins, which means you win. Amen? Do you believe that? The Bible talks about, don't worry about all these rumors you're going to hear. All this stuff's going to be happening. It's going to increase. It's going to get, you know, it's going to appear like, where is God? What's he doing? And then what he's doing is he's redeeming. He's waiting for us to catch up. And when we catch up, it will all be put right and fixed. And we win in the end. If you call yourself a believer in Jesus, you can be confident in your future. You can. You can absolutely be confident. I love that verse that he read in the beginning, Peter, what Cody read, that give an answer for your hope verse. This is what, when we believe that Jesus has changed the future, right? The resurrection has changed the future. We better be telling people that, right? Because too many people are living with the lack of hope, the lack of understanding, with worry. I mean, anxiety medications are at an all-time high in history. People are struggling because they're so worried about the future. The world needs our story, right? They need to hear the gospel. If you call yourself a believer, we should be proclaiming that to the world. Christ followers do not march timid and maimed and full of worry into the future. We do not, that's not who we are as Christians. We march forward in hope. We march forward in victory. We march forward proclaiming that story to the world. You know what? Yeah, I'm struggling. Brokenness of the world comes up against me still, right? We're still trying to catch up to the future, but that's okay because Jesus wins. And so we march forward no matter what comes against me, right? Neither death nor life nor all this stuff the Bible says. And what it basically says at the end is no anything can separate you from the love of God, of what happened in that tomb all those years ago. I want to just maybe challenge the believers in here today. When I say Christians should not march forward timid, Christians do not march forward full of worry, they don't march forward in despair, does that look like your life? And if it doesn't, Cody and I are experiencing this in our church right now, that a lot of people maybe say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but they don't really march forward in that victory. I want to challenge you. Maybe that phrase, I believe the gospel, needs to become an everyday aspect of your life, that you can understand the power of Jesus moment by moment in the way that you live and the way that you march forward into your future.
Yeah. So the resurrection of Christ is big enough to change the world. It's big enough even to change our future. It's big enough and small enough to change you. That's the last point, is that the resurrection changes you. And I have personally experienced this. Ashley, you've experienced this. So many of us that raised our hand early on to know that the resurrection of Christ has changed you. Not just given you a new set of rules to follow, not just made an attempt in your life to maybe look a different direction or change your perspective even, but what it has done is it has radically changed you. And there's promise upon promise upon promise in Scripture. And I would ask each of you, if you want an amazing promise, write down right now Romans chapter 6. If you want a place that you can meditate on, like Ashley was saying, if you want a piece of Scripture to say, I believe in the gospel and what that has done in my life, then write down Romans 6, and I want you to read that every day and see that that doesn't change you. Because what that verse is all about, it's saying that we are dead to sin and we're alive in Christ. And that where we were once slaves to sin, that Jesus' death on the cross has freed us from that sin.
Amen.
And for the longest time, I'm going to tell you, even my own life, I didn't understand that. I didn't really fully grasp that. I knew that there was freedom in Christ, and I knew that He gave me a new life and a new way, and that I didn't have to live in sin and brokenness and struggle through. I knew that, but it wasn't reality in my life. And I went to a conference one time, and a pastor challenged me, and he said, the Scripture that says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus, that's a promise from Jesus. And he said, does it feel like that to you? So I want you to ask yourself that question right now. Is life hard? Is life getting you down? Does it feel like a burden? And if you're a Christian, doubly so, does it still feel like that? If you're one that claims that Jesus is in control of your life, do you still feel a burden and a weight of brokenness and sin in your life? And if that's the case, that is not what Jesus promised. It's not what He promised. Mm-hmm. He promised that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. He came to conquer, not to help us cope. So every time that we feel like we're succumbing to those, that brokenness in our lives, and what we're saying is that the cross wasn't enough, but it was enough. It was enough to raise Jesus from the dead. And in that act, it raised us as well, if all we will do is accept that and claim that in our lives and understand, I am free. Do you want to be free today? Do you want to be free today? Do you want to be free of all that stuff that's holding you back, of the struggle of sin, that you feel like you're spinning your wheels, or you can't just quite get over these hurdles in your life, and there's weight in your life, and you can't get through it, and you don't know what to do? I tell you that Jesus has already done it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wonder what to do. His death conquered that. He freed you from that already. Your job is to say, yeah, I want that in my life. And to own that every day, so that every day moving forward, when you think, man, I don't know if I'm going to do this, or man, that's coming back in my life, all you have to do is say, no, I'm already free from that. Those chains are broken. I don't have to cope. I don't have to say, okay, Jesus, will you help me with this? Because that's like, He's already given you the hand to do it. We don't have to ask for help. We don't have to ask for help. He's already helped us. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is say, yeah, I know I'm overcome. I know I'm victorious in my life in this area. That's happened to me recently. I struggled with anxiety for the longest time, and it was getting worse and worse in my life. I'm an overanalyzer. I'm an introvert. And so I tend to let my mind run a little more than it should. And I overthink things, and at night especially, my mind will be racing, and I don't know, you know. And I read Romans 6, and this promise that our old self can be crucified with Jesus, and that our body that was once ruled by sin and brokenness can be done away with, so that we're no longer slaves to it. That hit me like a ton of bricks. I've heard that before. I've read that many times before. But it hit me like a ton of bricks in realizing that area of my life has not been conquered by Jesus. And that was something, anxiety is something I lived almost every day with. And this only happened a couple months ago. And I'll tell you, as soon as I read that and I own that in my life, I haven't had it since.
Amen.
And that's not I'm not even going to say that that's a miracle. That's what should be normal, guys. Mm-hmm. If you're struggling, if you do not know how to get through what you're currently facing, let me tell you that Jesus has already done it for you. And all you have to say is, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I am done holding on to this. I am done with these chains. I am done living with this. I am done trying to cope. Jesus, be my conqueror. Be my hero. And step forward, knowing in your future you can be confident in the fact that he has overcome every bit of that. And the next time that crops up, you say, no, I'm free. I'm free, guys. I know it in my life. Do you know it in your life? Do you know that you're free? If you know that you're free, I want you to say, I'm free.
I'm free.
Say it louder.
I'm free.
I'm free. Amen?
Yeah. You know, we're going to have the worship team come forward, and we're just going to worship today. We're just going to praise God for this truth. It's everything, right? The resurrection is changing every single thing that you can think of. As Cody was talking, I was reminded of this time when Jesus is walking. It was before he went to the cross, and there was a woman. If you know anything about Jesus, he went around and he did a lot of miracles. He healed people. And there's this one instance where he comes up to this woman, and he says to her this interesting question. He says, do you want to get well? He asks, do you want to get well? And I think that statement is so mind-blowing, right? Because it takes a level of ownership sometimes for us. And so we want to give you an opportunity to step into this. Cody talked about, Cody is an ordained pastor that has just recently, the last couple months, experienced the freedom from Jesus Christ. We are real people. I don't know if you know that, but I'm actually real. And I have things in my own life, and you have things in your life. And it's okay that maybe today you're going to say, okay, I don't have to pretend that I'm perfect. Transparency is one of our core values here. I hope you've gotten that from us today. It's who we are. We want this to be an authentic, real thing. We want to experience the gospel. And so I'm going to ask this question to you. Do you want to get well? The resurrection, if you believe, if you already believe, you're a Christian, you already believe it changes everything, then you can know that you just got to own that in your life. And it's not just I'm just going to say it. Okay, Lord, I own it. It's a real stance of your heart that says, no, I believe it and I'm done. I give up on me. I'm over my way. Okay, I can tell you this, my life, I've not always been a Christian. My husband has not always been a Christian. We both come from broken families. We've got divorce in our families. Great parents. We love our parents. But just, and my mother-in-law's here today, she can attest, she's an amazing woman. I love her with my whole heart. But we just were the product of not knowing Jesus, right? That's just who we are. And so we began our marriage that way. And I made choices in the beginning of that were destructive to me, that were destructive to myself, destructive to my future. My husband, the same. We didn't know what we were doing. And the older I get, I'm like, man, if I could have just given up on myself even just a little bit earlier, right? And I want to give you hope today, no matter how far into this life that you already are, just give up on yourself. Stop trying to pretend that you have all the answers. And if you read enough self-help books or, you know, just get on Pinterest and scroll and find a happy quote or whatever, decide that you're going to be a good person or today's going to be the day that I just, you know, I'm good. If you can just give up on yourself and accept that Jesus is the answer, there is no other answer. The resurrection changed everything. It is the one thing that has the power to break sin, cycles of brokenness in generations, right? Matt and I feel like we're legacy changers. We are pivot point changers for our families because of what Jesus has done in us, right? My kids will always know their parents knowing Jesus. They will grow up in that, and they will live that legacy out with their families now. That can be you today. That can absolutely be you. So I want to ask you this question, and sometimes we have you bow your heads. Today we're just going to keep our eyes open. I want to ask for the Christians in the room, people that have, you know, been there, given their lives to Christ. It's been a thing. You know, maybe you've been in the church a long time, and today you're realizing, I got some stuff to hand over to Jesus, and I'm going to rededicate my life. I believe the gospel, and today's the day that I rededicate my life in full surrender to him. Would you just raise your hand confidently? I know eyes are up. We want to see it. Amen. And if you don't know Jesus, if this is all new to you and you're like, what is this thing about? And I want it. You're hearing what we're saying. You're saying, I want that in my life. I want that, but I don't know all that means. Let me just tell you something. starting a relationship with Jesus does not mean now all of a sudden I got to be a churchgoer and I got to wear dresses on Easter and okay, or I got to like go through, you know, pretend that I'm something I'm not. That's not at all what it means. What it means is I hear what you're saying. I hear the gospel story and I recognize that in my life. I've got some sin, some cycles of brokenness, just like everybody else in this room. And you know what? I want to start the story that Jesus has for me. I want that to end today. I'm going to hand my life over, give up on my ways, hand it over to Jesus and see what he can do with my life. If that is you today, would you be brave and raise your hand? Would you just do that? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? I want to give you, thank you. We want to give you this opportunity. Raise your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. It is so real. This is not just a belief system. This is not just a good thing to do. What Jesus did in overcoming death has tangible evidence in the lives, in our lives. It's a real thing. I'm forever grateful. I know that you're grateful. I'm praising God for the people today that said, I gotta rededicate. I gotta take this moment and I gotta rededicate my life to him. Praise you. This is the start of something fresh in your life. You can be confident today as we worship him, as we sing things like, in Christ alone, my hope is found. There's no guilt in life. No more guilt. No more of this shame. I made all these mistakes. I maybe ruined my kids or things or whatever. None of that. That does not belong in the face of Jesus. He says, you come confidently. I can deal with all that. We're going to sing these words today, and I pray that as we sing them, that they become real for you. They become, oh my gosh, this is a real thing. This is not just 2,000 years ago. This is for me here and now. I'm going to ask you just to pray with me. God, thank you. Thank you so much, Jesus, for what you have done. Father, I praise you for the resurrection, Lord, today and every day. God, you have overcome brokenness in my life. Lord, I pray for those that have rededicated their lives today. Father, I pray an anointing of the Holy Spirit over them. God, I pray that you would just empower them right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you would give them confidence, surge their hearts with confidence and hope and joy. And God, I praise you for those that started a relationship, a real relationship with you for the first time. God, I pray your word says when we hand our lives over, when we come into relationship with you, that the Holy Spirit comes onto us, into us. We have the fullness of your presence in us, guiding us, helping us, convicting us, maybe when we're off the track that we should be on, and encouraging us and guiding us toward what you have for us. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would come into those new believers right now, Father. Father, I pray that today would be the start of a new chapter, a new story. The chains of brokenness would be dealt with. I pray that marriages, if they need it today, God, that you would heal them in the name of Jesus, God. The amazing things happen in your presence. I pray that hopelessness would be gone in the name of Jesus. I pray for people today that feel insecure. God, I pray that value and the way that you love us would be the way that we see ourselves today in the name of Jesus. I pray for those that are facing a tough decision or going into the future and aren't sure what am I supposed to do or I'm not sure who I'm supposed to be. I pray wisdom over these people in the name of Jesus. God, the resurrection changes everything and we are so grateful. We are so incredibly grateful and we give you all praise and glory by laying down our lives, by saying we don't know what we're doing. We need you to guide us. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We worship you now. In the name of Jesus, amen.